Good morning. It's 11.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it is 35 degrees under mostly clear skies. Today is Thursday, February 27th, 2014. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. Sitka's Blue Lake Dam expansion project will cost about $3.6 million more than expected. The total project, not including new backup diesel generators, was originally estimated to cost about $142 million. It is now up to about $145 million. Utility Director Chris Bruton told the Sitka Assembly Tuesday night. Bruton later told KCAW that this is the only major cost overrun the project has seen so far. Rachel Waldholtz has the details.
Most of the overrun will pay for construction of a temporary water filtration plant at Indian River. Sitka will rely on water from Indian River for about 2 to 4 months, starting in late August, when work on the dam will shut off access to Blue Lake, the city's regular water source. The city had originally budgeted $2 million for the temporary filtration system at Indian River, but Bruton said they always knew that number was a rough guess. As the project engineers completed the final design over the last several months, he said, it became clear that the final cost would be much higher. The city now estimates the total cost for the filtration system will be $4.7 million, or $2.7 million higher than expected. The other unexpected cost is for debris removal. When the dam expansion is complete, Blue Lake will inundate over 360 acres of currently dry land, Bruton said, drowning trees, shrubs, and undergrowth that will eventually die and bob up to the surface. That debris then has to be removed. The city originally budgeted about $1.5 million for the task, but both contractors who bid on the project estimated it would take longer than the city thought. The total cost is now estimated to be $2.3 million, or about $800,000 more than originally expected. The assembly approved a contract with Sitka contractor ASRC McGraw to handle the debris removal. The assembly voted to approve the increased project cost. Member Mike Reif said he felt fortunate that the cost overrun was so small given the overall size of the project. Chris Bruton said he felt city staff, especially Public Works Director Michael Harmon, was keeping a particularly close eye on expenses.
We've got a big hairy guard dog on the project. He's doing a masterful job.
The assembly authorized the city to apply for a low-interest loan from the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation to cover the additional expense. In Sitka, I'm Rachel Waldholtz.
A bill sponsored by Sitka Democrat Jonathan Christ Tompkins to establish a Walter Sobolev Day in Alaska cleared a state house committee last week after lawmakers on the panel heard heartfelt testimony from the late Tlingit elder's friends and family. The bill is now in the Rules Committee, where it will be scheduled for a vote on the House floor. KTOO's Casey Kelly reports from Juneau.
Alaska Native Brotherhood Grand President Bill Martin recalled listening to Walter Sobolev's church services on the radio as a child growing up in Cake.
His delivery was low-key, and his message was simple. Love your neighbor, for love is God.
Sobolev was the first Alaska Native minister in Juneau at a time when the town was segregated. He became a cultural and spiritual leader in the community and statewide, impressing both Natives and non-Natives with his teachings. Selena Everson with the Alaska Native Sisterhood said Sobolev meant everything to the Native community in Southeast Alaska.
He performed marriages of our people. He gave comfort when there was sorrow. He stood by us. How else can we honor him?
All four of Sobolev's children testified before the House State Affairs Committee. Son Ross said his father always told him to feed his spirit.
I think he fed the spirit of people from many walks of life, in his church and in his service, and sometimes as chaplain at this legislature.
House Bill 217 would make November 14th Walter Sobolev Day in Alaska. That was the day he was born in 1908. Sobolev died in 2011 at the age of 102. The bill's prime sponsor is Sitka Democrat Jonathan Christ Tompkins.
He truly was a towering figure in the Native community statewide through the Alaska Federation of Natives, through the early Native Civil Rights Movement.
Christ Tompkins envisioned Sobolev Day as similar to Elizabeth Paradovich Day. Alaskans just celebrated Paradovich on February 16th, the day territorial governor Ernest Greening signed the 1945 Alaska Anti-Discrimination Act, which Paretovich championed.
That's noted in a lot of schools. The history of anti-discrimination legislation in the state or territory of Alaska. It's really how groups, schools, institutions choose to honor or observe the person and what the person represented.
There's recent precedent for the legislation. Last year, lawmakers created J. Hammond Day to honor Alaska's self-proclaimed bush rat governor. In 2011, the legislature established Ted Stevens Day, honoring the state's longtime U.S. senator. HB 217 has several co-sponsors, including every House member from Southeast Alaska. After the hearing, State Affairs Committee Chair Representative Bob Lynn and Vice Chair Representative Wes Keller said they would sign on, too. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
And Sitka's Republican Senator Bert Stedman was most recently in the news for his expense account, which tops the legislature. But he spends a lot of that money on travel to conferences on oil and gas issues, and he's gained respect for his knowledge of the industry. Stedman opposed the governor's oil tax reform bill last year. In fact, he signed the petition initiative to repeal it. Proposition 1 will go before voters this August. But his position has always been that the governor's bill, known as SB 21, just needed to be fixed rather than thrown out entirely. He's now submitted his own bill that he hopes accomplishes just that. Mike Mason reports.
Senator Bert Stedman from Sitka put forward Senate Bill 192 late last week as an alternative to the current oil tax regime put in place with last year's passage of Senate Bill 21. Stedman spoke to his proposal during a speech Friday on the floor of the Senate. He says the gross value of the oil produced on the North Slope next year is estimated to be about $19 billion. Stedman claims that when royalties, transportation costs, and capital and operating costs are accounted for, that leaves about $7.8 billion to split between the state of Alaska, the federal government, and the producers. Stedman says the state's take under SB 21 will be about $2.7 billion.
So we start with 2.7. We take out almost $1 billion in credits. We get $1.75 billion, and then we take out a few more credits. We're down $1.5 billion for a total of about $1.2 billion in credits on the North Slope. There's another probably 200 and some odd million in credits coming out of other areas other than the North Slope. So we're really looking at about a $1.4 billion credit impact on the Treasury, which is substantial. Under the old tax regime, it would have been about $1 billion.
Stedman claims that once all the tax credits are included, SB 21 leaves the state with a net production tax of just over 19%, which he says is low compared to other jurisdictions.
We're precipitously under North Dakota by about $1.4 billion if we had the tax regime on North Dakota. In Alaska today, in comparison with 21, it's about $1.4 billion spread. So our government take numbers, all in, royalties, property tax, income tax, all the other good stuff that we get, our government take numbers on a comparative level around the world under 21, in my opinion, is too low, and that's one of the fundamental problems. To be competitive, we should not be in the high 50s, which is too low. To stay competitive, we should be in the high 60s. There's the tipping point, and it's not a numeric that can be calculated precisely. It's a range.
Stedman claims his bill, SB 192, would make some tweaks to the current oil tax regime. The bill would keep the base oil tax rate at 35%, but would adjust the per barrel credit for the legacy fields in Alaska, which includes Prudhoe Bay. Stedman says the bill would basically cut the credit per barrel in half.
So that would bring us, instead of being $1.4 billion away out of North Dakota, under North Dakota, we'd only be $900 million roughly under North Dakota.
Another aspect of Stedman's bill is to adjust the minimum tax the oil producers pay from a mere 4% up to 15%. He believes these changes would result in Alaska's tax system being much more competitive compared to the tax systems in place in other jurisdictions. Stedman is hoping his tweaks to the current system are approved because he says there are a lot of risks if the voters choose to repeal Senate Bill 21 in August. However, he says there's also risk if ballot measure 1 is turned down by the voters.
This proposal would put the state in a position to basically split that difference, take a lot of the risk out of both ends of the issue, and allow us to move forward still in a competitive position against our competitors, and still allow us to access the oil that's outside of the infrastructure that's built, because it's billed as nothing to target those areas. So you still get your additional credit increases that you would have under today. So it really targets the legacy fields. It targets Prudhoe and Kuparuk. It targets stability within the tax structure. And we need to, as a state, be in a position where we're aligned with the industry in our oil basin, in our tax structure. We weren't aligned under ACES. I didn't vote for ACES, and I don't support a return to ACES, maybe forced to temporarily. But I also don't support the flip side of the coin, where the stability just goes from one end of the scale to the other. It makes it very difficult for the state to move forward.
Senate Bill 192 has been referred to the Senate Resources Committee. So far, no hearings on the bill have been scheduled. In Dillingham, I'm Mike Mason.
And that's all for Raven News for this morning. It's just about 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka. You can listen to or read most Raven News stories again on our website, kcaw.org. To read comments on our stories on Facebook, click on the Facebook link. No registration or login is required. And to have KCAW News headlines tweeted directly to your smartphone, tablet, or computer, click on the Twitter link. It's 35 degrees in downtown Sitka under fair skies. The forecast calls for sun throughout our listening region today, with clear skies tonight and sun tomorrow as well. Temperatures today in the 40s. Stay tuned for Morning Edition from NPR. I'll be back at 8:18 with a live local interview about upcoming herring camp at Sitka National Historical Park. So do stay tuned for that if you can. And at 6:30 tonight, Raven Radio will broadcast a live town hall meeting about Sitka's finances. So do stay tuned for that as well. It's just about 8:01. This is KCAW Sitka.